Hey, what it do, what the business is?
It's another week in the books with the On Deck TV podcast. I am Spike Lou.
Man, holla at your boy Animal Brown, Animal underscore Brown, if you're looking for me on Instagram, Twitter, and sometimes Snapchat.
Sometimes Snap.
Absolutely.
I am Spike Lou on all your favorite social media platforms.
Man, we are remote today, goddamn.
Quarantine life in full effect. People are calling it the new normal.
Is it crazy?
Hope not.
I'm trying
streets
to figure
of Atlanta
out.
Deserted out here.
I'm trying to figure out how I can cash in on this new normal.
When you find out, let me know. Because it don't look like nothing is withstanding but grocery stores.
That's a fact.
The Waltons are eating Walmart. I seen an article today about how much money they was making through this.
Man, they gonna eat regardless, man.
Even more so now.
Man, that shit crazy. But we still gotta provide the content, man. We can't let up. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, we gotta jump in here, give you guys the hip-hop news, man. But before we get into that, how you been dealing with the quarantine, man? I seen you doing some IG lives, getting that popping. What else you done had on?
Man, I've been maxing and relaxing, honestly. I don't mind the break.
You do that anyway.
You know what I'm saying? Kind of the pause for the cause is cool. I'm not really mad at it.
Are you worried about, like, stuff coming up in the future? You just like taking it day by day? What's your outlook on it?
I am captain day by day. whatever happens, happens. Hey, man, you prepare for the worst, but hope for the best.
So you have no advice for the people out there, is what you're saying?
Zero. Prepare for the worst and hope for the best is my advice.
That's pretty sound. Like you got it from one of those Marvel movies.
How you holding up by any screws?
It's rough, man. I can't even lie. My grandmother passed during this, so.
Funeral. Damn. Yeah, I'm sorry to hear that real talk.
No, thank you. So, thank you, sir. Funeral was super weird. People didn't know whether to hug, greet each other, a whole lot of corona elbow taps. But yeah, you know, I got to visit Nashville. Everything was shut down, super weird up there. It was just like a weird vibe. So, just dealing with it, like you said, day by day. But man, hopefully we're coming around the corner on everything.
Absolutely, man. It's definitely going to be greater later out here in these streets.
100%. We're here to brighten up the day for the On Deckers, man. So what we got, man?
Hey, let's get it, man. On this episode, Drake reveals Young Adonis. 2 Chainz announces a new project with Weezy. And we rank the IG Live battles. But first, yo boy, Tekashi 6ix9ine is a free man. Kinda, sorta. He was released from jail due to the coronavirus scare and is now in home confinement for the remainder of his sentence. He has already trolled on social media once, but is now saying he won't do it anymore. What do you think is the next move for the former Treyway artist?
He's still going to try to get the trolls off, as we've seen. I did see somebody release a statement and said he won't be doing that. Maybe it was his record label or something.
His lawyer, record label, somebody.
Man, dude is not going to be able to get this out of his system because it worked. Like, you were talking about the podcast. You put people on it as far as y'all put ons for the week. I listened to it.
Yeah.
Y'all go check out that Tekashi 6ix9ine. But just listening to it solidified things that we were saying about, hey, from the very beginning, this guy was never a gangster. He lucked up on some stuff, and now look at him. He was the number one rap star. He's not going to turn away from that. I feel like he's going to double down. He's a little smarter now, so he ain't going to do a lot of shit to get him locked up or in jail. But he's going to be able to play this studio gangster role 100% well. Like, he know how to get the IG popping. They detail that very well on the podcast about, you know, he had a knack for the social media stuff. So he's going to keep doing that.
Yeah.
That's his lane. That's him. That's the way he's going to make money. I don't see him doing anything different or changing. What do you think?
And he's going to keep doing it because there's still an audience for it.
Yeah.
Every time he says something,
you're there for all of it.
That's breaking news
in the group chat.
He's still a hot topic. You know what I'm saying? Because we've never really seen anything like this before. So it's a train wreck in motion that everybody likes to watch. So he'll still continue to do that shit. I don't care what he or his lawyer or his record label says. They said that he's working on 2 albums, 1 in Spanish and 1 in English. I don't know what that's going to do, but
Spanish one going to do numbers.
The Spanish one is going to go nuts.
Yeah, it's going to do numbers.
Because that's an easy play. You know what I'm saying? But the English one, I don't know about that shit. But dude, again, you mentioned the infamous podcast, which I thought was fire. Did you finish it though?
Yeah, I finished it.
I thought it was fire though. honestly. It's better than any of his music.
That's a fact, but I've never listened to really any of his music. I like the breakdown of the story. Like you said, we pretty much sit back and seen that from a mile away, but, yeah. But it being verified by Angie Martinez was cool. I ain't really like the narrating wasn't great to me, and I ain't not
the Angie. She did a legend. Job.
I don't know, man. It sounded like she was maybe reading a book or something. It just didn't sound like it didn't come off the like, yeah, it wasn't no tune in narration. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know. I can't even think of
it. It sounded like an audio book right now.
Yeah, like it was like off.
Yeah. Now, I thought it was good, but with when you hear all of that and then you see there was a video of him, what people thought to be him was getting out of jail. He was hanging outside like a car window on the bridge in New York, screaming Trey Way. And I'm like, dude, if this nigga did that, and is already running himself hot. Like, this is unfucking believable. Like, he had to learn something through this ordeal, dude.
He learned not to do anything that way he have to testify or go to jail again. All that other shit, the IG shit, that was free for him. That's free money. Like, he knows, like, he's seen it, like, all the rappers that he's threatened and the things that he's did on IG, that nothing came from that. And I'm not saying it should. I'm not saying nobody should trick themselves off the streets and try to do something to him because he's talking about him on IG.
Yeah.
But he's seen it ain't nothing gonna happen. Like, ain't nobody gonna ride down on him for saying, like, if he say Chief Keef a bitch or got his baby mama in Times Square, like, nobody. I just don't think that it may still resonate to fans, like you said, and people that want to see it, but the rappers, it's not gonna resonate with them no more. You're not gonna see the IG lives of people responding to him. You're not gonna see people talking about he a snitch. You know, like, I just don't. It's gonna fall on deaf ears amongst rappers.
Wait till Tekashi gets on IG live, bro.
You're gonna be there, strong, watch, camped out.
It's gonna be a lot of people there. Mm-hmm. He gonna do Tory Lane numbers. Watch.
I don't believe that. Shout out to Tory Lanez, the young goat.
He's shaking it right now. What else we got?
He on top of life, man. Next, what we got here. I'm sorry. Let me pull up my list. So, pulling up my list and going to the next one on my docs. Drake, my boy.
Let's go.
Reveals his redheaded child on social media. He drops a two-step record, Tootsie Roll. How big of a deal has your boy Aubrey made through the quarantine life?
First of all, he's not redheaded. Nice try.
That child was redheaded.
I thought he was blonde. That was blonde hair, dude.
Hold on, man.
He looked just like Drake mama.
Put some dirty
respect
blonde
on young Adonis, nigga.
It was dirty blonde then.
that right now, short term is a big deal. Speaking
because of the song, because of the kid, what are you considering a big deal?
Speaking of the song, I'm talking about the song. I heard a preview of this before it came out, and I really wasn't looking forward to it. But once I heard it and watched the video, I actually kind of like it. More, I don't know if I like it, but I'm more or less...
You like everything Drake do, though.
Nah. I don't know if I more or less like it, but I get it. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm not necessarily riding around to it, but he dropped a TikTok song in the middle of a quarantine when kids are doing nothing but TikTok videos. Like, it's a smart play to get... it may be some low-hanging fruit, but it's a smart play at the end of the day to keep your name hot without having to drop a project. But best believe the project is coming, though, and I can't wait.
And in my opinion, it's no deal because of what you just said. Like, it's Drake, bro. Like, he 12 years in, like, he's solidified himself as
the greatest of all time.
One of the best. nigga got more hits than the Beatles. That's one of his favorite lines. Like, I ain't got to cheat and do the cha-cha slide, dude. Like, that's cheating. Yeah, we sitting at home, we on TikTok. I just feel like that Drake don't got to take the low-hanging fruit no more. It's one of the challenges that people who are not stans like you, we hear the dope bars, we hear how talented he is as an artist, but still he get to take the easy way out with stuff like this, and you're saying, oh, he's created a stir. I just want a classic album from Drake. 13 songs, drop the heat. I don't need the cha-cha slide. I don't need the child pictures. I just need him one time to have a project that's going to be like absolute fire and lives up to his name. I need that Drake album.
First of all, you know, he's already had several of those, but...
No, he has not.
I see why he didn't want to reveal his child. That's number one.
100%. I still wouldn't have did it.
Man.
These pictures he must have thought they was going to leak or something.
He should have at least sold them to people and got a bag off of it. Man, look, and
the fake family photo? That ain't enough.
Yeah, that he ain't even like he wanted to be in the photo, dude. Yeah. Like, and then they didn't clean this little baby mama up. And like, bro. Like, it looks super manufactured. I wasn't feeling that at all. I was like, come on, bro. That shit look crazy. And then I see why he had to get multiple tests. He said that on Rap Radar. He had to get like three tests, dude.
Oh, that's low.
Nigga, you look at the kid, dude. Like, I would.
Yeah, he looked like Drake. He looked just like Drake.
He looked like Drake mom.
With the fat jaws, yeah. Like, I ain't here to say whether he should have got tested or not. But I just think that doing shit like this, Drake is way past this, man. I just want him to just lean into the goatness. Like, he ought to be doing Beyonce shit. Like, he can be real secretive and drop an album tomorrow, and it's gonna sell a couple million.
Ain't nobody dropping during this quarantine, though. You can cancel it.
Yeah, it ain't closed now. Ain't no record companies open to push it.
You gotta be a monster
to drop doing this.
And people can't go tour. You can't tour your album after this. Like, you can't do no press.
It's pointless to drop right now. There's one person that could do this.
Who?
Hov. Think about it. Like, Hov is all about owning your own shit, and I don't need the machine, and I started Tidal. He could drop right now tomorrow. Yes, we're going to listen to it. It would be a big deal. Nobody else is talking about anything else. And he's like 50 years old. This nigga going to be touring for the next 10 years anyway. He ain't even got a hit with this album. Like, he can put this album out then tour a year from now on.
Didn't he just drop 2 weeks ago and did 24,000?
Jay Electronica dropped, man. He would have done 5,000 if it wasn't for Jay. But I think he could drop with no expectations right now. It'd be effective.
It's too close to what he just said what he needed to say. He got all that shit off his chest.
True. He did.
He got the NFL right about the that. Dale bar off. He's been sitting that is over a good months.
Point. He has made a lot. He got all of that off on that Jay Electronica album, which is finally probably why we received it.
That's a fact. Man, next up, NBA YoungBoy.
Yo
boy. Back in the news. He was involved in a weird love triangle situation with his baby mother and Floyd Mayweather's daughter, Floyd's daughter allegedly stabbed his baby mama after catching them together. Now, since then, YoungBoy has been beefing with incarcerated rapper Kodak Black on social media. You bought stock in YoungBoy, NBA YoungBoy, a couple of months back. Is it time to sell that stock?
I said the NBA YoungBoy would be around for the longest of the generation he's in, and I'm doubling down. Yeah. I'm buying more stock. The way, like, there's talent in the way he was smoking that cigarette and talking about and having this little girl like just talking about her dad and she not saying, like, it's talent there. Like, I don't want to see it, and it's toxic as fuck, but everybody online was talking about it. Like, I seen like old hot tips you follow, old women like, well, who is NBA YoungBoy and who is this Yaya? But Floyd Mayweather name attached to it. It brings another crowd in. I just think the NBA YoungBoy, I'm not condoning any of his actions, anything that has to do with the situation. But this is keeping his name, when there's not a lot of news out there, popping. Like, I've seen that video so many times of him addressing everything that happened after she got out of jail for stabbing the chick with the cigarette in his hand. There have been so many memes about how NBA YoungBoy fans listen to new music or make smoothies with cigarettes blending in there with him. Like, all of that's funny, and it give him legs. And not to mention, he make good music. Like, people like him. Regardless of what you and I feel about him as older guys, the young guys like him, as DJ Cotton says. I don't think that makes or breaks him, but it keeps him around for a long time. So I'm buying that stock.
Yeah, no, he's definitely popular. You know what I'm saying? He's probably one of the most popular, if not the most popular, under 25. You know what I'm saying? So
True. That's
without a doubt. Now, what happens when those kids grow up and they not really trying to hear that shit that he's talking about no more? Like, I don't know. Do NBA YoungBoy fans grew up with him, and then he continues to make music for them? Like, I don't know how that works. I don't know.
He turns into Lil Boosie. That's exactly what happens. He turns into Lil Boosie. He learns how to sell what it is that he is. Like, now he's still young. Like, we judging him. He's, I think, 25, maybe.
Nah, he can't be. He got to be younger than that. I'm finna look it up.
Okay, so at this stage, I think that he's still, he don't even know how powerful or popular that he is. He just getting off doing his thing. When he get Boosie age, like, Boosie has realized his lane and why he's funny and just leaning into it. I see the exact same thing for him.
That nigga was born October 20th, 1999. That's crazy.
No way.
Jesus. He's 20 years old, dude.
I remember what I was doing in 99.
Man, listen, I might have remembered what I ate on October 20th of 1999. That's how close it was.
So his mom has to be like, all right, no wonder she came out talking shit, talk about people need to leave her son alone and they gonna come see her if they got a problem. Like, mom, relax.
Listen, I don't want no smoke with Mama Youngboy, but she got to relax, though.
Nah, Mama Youngboy might be about their life.
And that's the thing.
100% true.
That's a good comparison. Boosie's a good comparison, but look how close we were to never for Boosie never see the light of day again, nigga. He had to be like a murdered.
It got close. It did. You're right. And that's close. A good point too. It definitely got close. He gonna fray that line. He gonna walk that line, I feel like, his whole career. I don't think that anything is gonna he don't seem like the type to me where something's gonna jump out and he's gonna have a revelation. And we'll see a new NBA young boy. But I do think that we have a culture now where what he's doing is going to appreciate over time.
I don't want to see him and Kodak Black in the same room. I don't know. I don't want to even imagine that.
How did Kodak Black even get in this? What happened?
Because the news story came
out
that.
What about getting out of jail?
Oh, how about that? Yeah. He worried about the wrong shit. The news story came out that Youngboy was cooperating with the police. Kodak Black, somehow that hit his news feed. I don't know how he's getting current information in jail, but he's getting current information, so he has some shit to say about it. They've been going back and forth ever since. Them the last two niggas I need to see in the room, because they will overdo whatever the fuck happens.
Yeah, I don't want to be there when they meet up at all.
Absolutely.
I don't want to see that. I have no desire for that to happen unless they get on the track together. Like, I don't want to see that at all. So next, man, what we got?
Man, we're talking about your boy Chainz.
2 Chainz. He went to the IG Lives, and he was talking about all the IG battles, which we've seen, and we're going to talk about a little bit later. But he was thinking about who he should battle, and he named a couple of people, and he landed on Meek Mill.
Mm-hmm.
Now, past that, he talked about releasing 2 Chainz and Lil Wayne album, Collard Grove, too, in that same thing. Which one would you be more excited about, the Collard Grove or Meek Mill?
It's neither. However, I will say that, and we'll talk about the battle in just a second.
We'll get to the battle later. Talk about the Collard Grove.
But the Collard Grove 2, you know what? Actually, so I forgot the first one came out. I'm not going to lie to you. I'm not going to say it was some slaw, but it was forgettable. Gun to my head, if you would have asked me to name one song off of it before I revisited it just about an hour or two ago, I would have been dead as hell. But
the way you listen to that again.
Yeah, I ran it back just because I couldn't remember if it was from Slaw or not, and I needed to confirm that before I said it officially on the podcast. But I like what shape Wayne is right now in his rap shit. So I wouldn't mind hearing Wayne and 2 Chainz right now. That'd be a nice look. Go ahead and drop that during the quarantine. Get you some solid production on there. 2 Chainz has been in his bag for a couple of years now. Wayne, I feel like, has been back ever since that Funeral project. So, yeah, I wouldn't mind hearing that right now. That'd be fun to listen to. Give me 12 songs. Don't overthink it. Just make sure the production is on point and have them going back and forth. They have good chemistry together. I'm here for that.
I am not here for another Collard Grove album. I think that these are just simple money grabs from 2 Chainz because he's friends with Lil Wayne. Mm. I don't think that they have the cohesiveness that they think that they have. I don't see it. The Duffel Bag Boy was dope, but the Collard Grove album, to me, it didn't really sound like, hey, me and you make good music together. Let's make an album. It sounded like more so, I know you're in this situation, Wayne. I'm kind of high right now. I'm going to do you a favor like you did for me with Duffel Bag Boy. And that's cool as a homeboy, but I don't need y'all to pull down and do it again. Like you said, Wayne on his feet now. I don't think that he needs to do albums like this. I think that he needs to continue to get in his bag. It's growing, being an older, what we call it, contemporary rap artist. He needs to get in that bag and figure out what he needs to talk about. And I think 2 Chainz just needs to continue to stay in what he does. Like, we still waiting like it. I like rapper go to the league, but fringe 2 Chainz fans kind of think he's took a step back with that. So I think he need to focus on continuing that, pushing that brand that he's created for himself.
Yeah.
He's doing too much true university stuff, and then I want to do this with Wayne. Like, I get it as an entrepreneurial spirit that he has and trying to spread his wings, but he's a dope-ass artist, and I still think that he needs to lock in and do a dope-ass project.
I would be here for Wayne. If they took it seriously and locked in and did like a for real, like Watch the Throne, like a for real collab joint, that should have been fired. The Collard Grove was really just 2 Chainz with Wayne featured on like 80% of it. It was like a Jay Electronica Jay-Z shit.
True.
It wasn't no just like real, like, nigga, we finna like, let's do it. What a time to be alive, nigga. 10 songs, let's go in, same studio, let's lock in. That might be kind of dope, you know what I'm saying? But if it's just 2 Chainz featuring Wayne on the whole album, then maybe that's a miss. But if they locked in, what else they got to do, man? Lock into the goddamn studio. Wayne don't do nothing else anyway. 2 Chainz say he go every day anyway. So they might as well go ahead and lock in and make a for real project. That shouldn't be hard. Drop it now. Yeah. You ain't got to worry about touring and shit. Just drop it now.
Yeah, you're right. If they did it that way, then I'm 100% here for it. But I just don't see that in those guys' future, though. Like locking in with Wayne. Nigga trying to do 50 songs in a session.
Listen, if Wayne can do 50 songs, you can't do 10 of them with Chainz and make a fire project.
He'd be able to
like,
do a good one, but I don't know. Like, I think Wayne need to do a little bit more sparring. Getting back to his feet. I don't think he's back to yet. Maybe after another album from each of them, we revisit this, but just not right now.
On another 2 Chainz note, though, his interview on T.I. podcast was hilarious.
That shit was really good.
Them niggas funny, dude.
The Expeditiously podcast. Y'all check that out. Y'all want to see some Atlanta, South Side versus West Side, old school, good spirited tension. It wasn't no beef or nothing, but it was just like, it was good, like you said. Nah, it was just a good interview. How they like the mutual respect that they have for each other, but also at the same time holding each other to stuff. I think that was fire.
T.I. in his bag now. And we said this when he first came out. We said, do we see where it's going? What's the potential? And we said it's going to take a little minute for him to get in his hosting bag and to know when to pick his spots. But he's doing a good job at it. He's been on a roll lately.
He has some good guests as well. So just shout out to Tip for keeping that thing rolling over there.
Absolutely, man. Speaking of keep it rolling, we finna go right to the topic, man. We're talking battles. We about to do a battle of the battles, nigga. Unless you've been under a rock, the IG battles have been popping off, curated by Timbaland and Swiss Beats. We're gonna talk the battles. We'll do a little ranking or whatever. What is it about these beat battles or these songwriter battles that makes it so appeasing and appealing to everybody? I think the last one hit 280,000, watchers, which is fucking nuts. What is it about the battles, in your opinion, man, that makes them good?
People ain't got shit to do. People don't have anything to do, and sitting at home holding your phone watching IG doesn't seem just too time consuming now, because all we have is time. People binging, watching on Netflix, playing video games, or the LLC Twitter. They're planning, plotting, and strategizing, making sure they come
LLC Twitter is better. Fucking hilarious.
They making sure that you're getting better each day in this quarantine and not worrying about everything that's happening in the world. But with that being said, man, I feel like that it's a perfect time for this. This is a perfect storm. You use the two big names, Timbaland and Swiss, to get people looking. And you say, oh, this is dope. Another thing that I think has people tuned in is the nostalgia of the situation. Like, we're not going anywhere. People are not clubbing so much. So these songs that these people are playing are songs when we were out. Songs from your childhood, college days. That's why people, I think, were so focused on the Teddy Riley and Babyface one. Because we knew the thunder that was going to come with those songs, and like I say, the nostalgia and bringing back memories of when you played that stuff. That's why the Timbaland and Swiss stuff was so good. They get the biggest responses when they play like the old Aaliyah joint. So you get that old Jay joint from back in the day. It's all about the nostalgia of the situation. And then some people just want to be there because everybody famous in there. So they try to be in the comments and be funny. The comments, I think, that's a slept on feature of it.
That's a fact.
That is a big part of it, being able to interact like the old AOL chat room days.
Yep.
I know I'm dating myself here, but this brings that facet of it back to interacting live. Like I said on the last podcast we did in the studio together, there's something about people all linking up together and being able to comment, talk about it like through their phone. I think those are the major factors in it. What do you think?
Yeah, that's the slept on. The comments are super slept on. You know what's funny? I remember a couple years ago, not too long ago, maybe a year or two, when Just Blaze and Swiss did the battle on IG Live. But they were in the same room. There was a little bit of a crowd. They was in the studio. Nigga, and that shit was dope, though. So
it was fire.
That shit was hard. So it's kind of, it's interesting that no one thought to do it this way now until, you know, we're forced to be stuck into the crib. So whoever came up with that idea, whoever sparked it off, kudos to them. Like you said, Swiss and Timberland, they kicked it off with the first one. I don't think it was as structured as the last couple have been. You know what I'm saying? I think they were just going. They were just like, fuck it, until we get tired, nigga, and all this type of shit. But I think this shit is dope. What makes these battles fire for me are not only that they're split up. Some of them are artist versus artist, and some of them are songwriter versus songwriter. And that's where you get the surprise. Oh, shit, I didn't know he did that. Oh, mm-hmm. shit, he did that? Damn, that nigga caught, like, you got the big surprises. The element of surprise is big. That's an underrated aspect of this to me, is when they play joints that you didn't know they were behind. That's fire, dude. And people are showing their talents. You know what I'm saying? Jonte Austin, he's showing joints that he wrote hella years ago that nobody knew about.
I didn't even know who Jonte Austin was before this battle.
You know what I'm saying? See, I knew he had a little bit of a solo career fucking with Jermaine Dupri, but it didn't really go nowhere. He really been behind the scenes, obviously, this whole time. But so I remember him from the solo song, and I knew he worked with Jermaine Dupri, but I didn't have a clue that he fucking wrote Tyrese Bang. You know what I'm saying? Like, what?
Sweet Lady, but
when the fuck did he do that?
A diamond pin.
That's what I'm saying. Like, so that, I think the songwriter aspect of, because yeah, you can take two rappers and they go at each other's songs. I mean, that's cool. That's hard. You can take two producers. And for the most part, you'll know what's about to come next. You know what I'm saying? But when you got the songwriters, it's like, damn, what this nigga finna play next? Like, nigga, he played that Aaliyah joint off of Next Friday soundtrack. I said, man, this nigga cold. Like, I'm like, damn.
Exactly. Yeah,
or whatever soundtrack that was.
He's probably had one of the better performances. And like you said, I didn't know that much about it. I think one of the things, if we're going to talk about, that's what we enjoyed on it. We'll talk about what ruins it, just to turn the page a little bit. People, and you hit a little bit on this with the Jess Blaze and the Swiss Beats. I think that the reason that we didn't see more after that, because it was dope, is people couldn't figure out how to monetize it. You know what I mean? Like, you got to deal with the labels and paying them to play the songs. Like, you got to license those songs. A lot of people don't know. Like, you have to license those songs.
Yeah.
Like, clubs pay a bill each year to play the clubs and bars and restaurants. Like, they have to pay to play the music even in the background in those establishments. So you can't just play songs that are owned for free. That's one thing about it. But my point about all of it is, my biggest problem is people trying to capitalize off of it, trying to figure out how to make a buck. And I'm going to say Teddy Riley's name in that. I think if you just show up, do what you love, quit trying to figure out, hey, do we need to add judges? Do we need to charge for admission? Are the labels going to charge for songs? It's like, go do it. Do it out of love. And I feel like the bag will come from it.
Yeah.
Because one of the things that I've enjoyed the most when I've seen the Matty Fresh, even Swiss, every time that he does it, like, they so excited.
Yeah.
T-Pain. Like, oh, they were so excited just being in their bag, being creative, playing their hits. And I think once we start adding judges, and now you got to pay a dollar to get in, like, that just take away from it. Now people are a little bit more skeptical of it, and it just adds another element to it when you're trying to monetize it and make it. I mean, it's a capitalistic society, so that's what we get, but that make it nasty.
Yeah, it's tough when you go from no cost to now you charge. It's much harder to do that than to go from charging just out the gate and then going back down to nothing. That's a lot of an easier transition. But I will say, bro, it's 280,000 people watching, fam. You have to figure out a way to copyright. You have to, bro. Like, you can't just be out here. And I'm not saying it has to happen tomorrow. And the rumors are that Teddy Riley is trying to, charge 10 or charge a dollar.
Nigga trying to make it a WrestleMania.
Yeah, that's the rumor. Relax. We don't know that to be for sure.
Well, you're right. You do have to capitalize off of it, but bro, that's 250,000 people. Like, I don't have to figure out how to make money from them. They just have to remember my name. Like, the dude, what's his name? What'd you say his name was? Who? The songwriter?
Oh, Jonte Austin.
Like him. Like, he got a brand new, whole different brand now for people like me that didn't know who he was. You know, he got a little swag now. He put on a good show.
Yeah.
I feel like if you worry about putting on a good show, playing good music, the money is going to come from this. It may not come from the actual event, but just like we figure it out in hip-hop, all the other ways, there are different ways to monetize stuff with merchandise, advertisement, some type of way on the back end. But you ain't got to charge niggas. I don't think that that's a good game plan. And even in the beginning, just think about this. If you, in the beginning, heard the Swiss and Jess Blaze were battling, but they wanted five, like, you're not paying for that. Like, it may be worth it and it may be cool, or you may even pay for it, but the friends fan, the on the fence fan, they're not doing that. So I think you got to do it for free, keep it for free, and just figure out how to make you pay your marketing team and your business people how to make money on the back end. So make your money on the back end. Don't try to charge people for this.
Yeah, it reminds me of the movie The Social Network about Facebook, when Mark Zuckerberg was trying to keep it ad free. And his homie that was putting the money up for it was like, hey, we got to figure out a way to monetize. He was like, yo, when you do that, when you put them ads up, it's not cool no more. Like, we got the cool factor. Like, we got to ride that and the paper will come.
Yeah. And that's what they still have. That's a great point. They have the cool factor now. It's cool now to see Swiss and Tim battling and Drake commenting and Charlamagne commenting and people choking in the comments back and forth. Like, that's cool. But I just don't think that it's cool enough to charge niggas for.
But you know, what's the name charging people? See, that's the thing. If you're going to charge, then two things. Number one, you need to come out the gate and do that. And two, you have to make it worth people's while. And Erykah Badu has been charging for her online shows.
True. But
and
you're
I heard
right.
they fired, too, though.
I heard they were fired. I think they're like a dollar.
Yes, yeah, which is cool.
And you're absolutely right about charging from the beginning, though. Because Erykah Badu, now she got a precedent set where, hey, it's a dollar. People like ain't looking at that like it's a big deal. But we know what Erykah Badu does. We know her song history. We know how she puts on a performance. I say that to say people are not familiar with what a beat battle is, what they're going to be doing. So I don't think that's why you can charge in the beginning. Like, you know, people that are in the weeds with it, like you or me, we know what's going to be going on there. But you ask someone's girl or, you know, just a friend's rap fan, their mom, they're like, oh, a beat battle? What do you mean? They're going to be just playing instrumentals? Like, what's going on? So it's going to be hard to get money out of them. Like, Erykah Badu, on the other hand, it's already a proven thing, what she's doing.
And so if we looked at the battles, I know we've referenced a couple of them. I'm looking at the five major ones. I'm excluding, once they got the format down, so excluding the initial one, which is Swizz versus Timbaland, excluding that one, and excluding the ones that nobody cares about, like Tory Lanez versus French Montana, and Bobby V versus Pleasure P. Nobody cares about those.
Man, Bobby V was so mad y'all dissing his battle. He big boy, man. That nigga put on an African.
Oh, my God.
He put on a whole tofu or whatever you call that thing.
What that is.
To let y'all niggas know he was mad. Koofy.
Had the koofy on.
Yeah, he had the koofy on.
If you look at the five, if you look at Hit-Boy, Boy Wonder, Scott Storch, Manny Fresh, Dream, Sean Garrett, T-Pain, Lil Jon, Jonte Austin, Neo, which one of those was your favorite so far?
My favorite one was Hit-Boy and Boy Wonder. I think that it was Boy Wonder did a great job in entertaining, like his demeanor, his little snarky like comebacks and shit. Like, that's funny to me. Like, I think he did a perfect job in not being too disrespectful, like Matty Fresh, and you know what I mean, and being tuned in. So that was my favorite one, just with the mixture of songs and the two guys that were in. And I think Hit-Boy kind of, if he had it to do again, would have had a better set list. He started getting his feet up on him at the end there. Yeah. It was a lot more entertaining. And I think he an entertaining dude, too. Like, he ain't one of those dudes where it came off. Well, he a real L.A. nigga, it seemed like. It came off like an L.A. nigga. He ain't really with all the politics that Boy Wonder has going on. But he wasn't disrespectful about it. I like their chemistry together. So I'm going to say that one was my favorite. Which one was yours?
Yeah, if I had to go favorite, I would say Jonte Austin and Neo. Mainly because that's the one I expected the least from. Like I said before, Jonte Austin, not a household name like it. And most prolific songwriters that are behind the scenes aren't household names like that.
And you're an R&B guy.
Yeah, for sure. But I knew Neo had some shit or whatnot. But this is the one I was expecting the least from, and they showed out. They were talking shit. You know what I'm saying? Like, it was one point. This was probably the best shit talking of all of the battles when Neo played, I think he played Let Me Love You by Mario or something like that he wrote. Mm-hmm. And he was like, and Jonte Austin was like, nah, that was good. That was good, man. That broke if I'm not mistaken, man, that broke a lot of records. Most consecutive, da da da. He done name dropped the facts, and Neo like, yep.
He pulled up the Wikipedia page, though.
Yeah, clearly. He said, yeah, nah, that was the longest running, da 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 da. until this. Nigga, he had play on that Mariah Carey. We belong together. Oh, man, this nigga. I was like, he talking big boy shit, nigga. So that was funny to me for those reasons. I didn't expect that much heat to be played and that specific heat to be played. Going in, not knowing is the best. Like, I don't want to hear who's about to battle and then go look up their greatest hits. Like, that's going to throw it off for me. Mm. I want to go in not knowing shit. And that was the one for me. I had a very good time with that. That was a classic.
The not knowing is a good factor. But I think that's why the 20 song rule is a good thing. Like, you can't just go all catalog. Give me your best 20. And that way you got to add some strategic thought processes to it as to what songs you're going to play and where. But I don't want to give away all of that intellectual property that I've came up with for these battles. So I do think that that's a good idea, like the 20 songs, though.
What's your what was your least favorite so far?
Sean Garrett, Drunk Ass.
Yeah, that's a fact. I got him as my – he in last place. He blew it, dog.
And from what I'm hearing, Sean Garrett is kind of like a black sheep in the industry. And for him to have 200,000 people in there and, like, literally piss it down your leg because you're drunk.
Yeah.
I guess that gives people reason, precedent to be like, that's why I don't fuck with you.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's probably a lot of people in that room was like, man, Sean Garrett is talented, but look at this nigga.
Yeah.
Like, you just can't do that.
You
man.
Auditioning, just, man. You auditioning. Yeah. The whole world is looking at you. Well,
100,000 people in here, dude.
Bro, you tripping. He tripping,
and you
bro.
You drunk.
Making like, them goofy ass faces. Niggas was hitting his line and everything. Like, bro, straighten up, my nigga. Like, what
you battling like a big dog. Like, Dream ain't no, like, he's not a slouch. He ain't no nigga that you gonna take lightly at all.
Yeah. He blew that.
Bullshitting. That was my least favorite performance, 100%.
Yeah, that was my least favorite, too, man. Random as hell. I seen Dream and Dick Sporting Goods one time in Alpharetta. Shit was random as hell.
I was buying a Tech Fleece Nike suit, man. another, I would say, questionable performance is, I don't think Manny Fresh knew that Scott Storch really don't play like that. And I ain't saying the Scott Storch no beast or nothing like that, but that nigga was joking about the man, like, losing all his money. Like, New Orleans joking and other people joking is totally different. And Manny Fresh is one, like, New Orleans. And, like, they type of jokes, like, they going for the jugular. And I don't think Scott Storch was ready for that, man. He really was ready to hang up and call him on the other line and be like, hey, bro, what's up, man? What's up, my nigga?
Hey, I see.
He was hitting him below the belt.
He was.
Like, that little clip that he made about, like, snorting away all his money. Like, that was wild.
Hey, he had for real deal big-timer skits, nigga. Like, throwback skits.
Wild, dude. And he put that together. Was like, what the fuck?
Yeah, that was some below-the-belt shots, but it's a battle, though. Think of how, we just talked about a rap battle a couple of episodes ago, where dude had baby mama chewing somebody up on his phone. Like, bro, like, we have to look at it like how they do the rap battles, bro. Like, it ain't no rules, bro. Like, fuck.
That's true, but I don't think Scott was prepared for that. He just didn't know that.
Absolutely not.
Manny, he didn't know that was coming.
He just wanted to play some beats, dude.
I just came to play my songs, dog. You pissing me and shit. But that made it funny. And I think you're right, though. That adds another element of entertainment to it. And they ain't like these niggas gonna get to fighting or nothing. They ain't in the same
right.
So I'm here for it.
That's why I see each other for at least 3 months.
At least 3 months. I want to see some artists that don't like each other do this. Like, I want to see Gucci, man. I want to see Gucci and Jeezy. Like that would be.
They might just get to talking and it won't even play no records.
They're gonna have to hang up. Yeah, they're gonna have to hang up. That's funny right there.
I will say I had that as my that was my fourth as well. Scott Storch versus Manny, that was four. I had Hit Boy and Boy Wonder 3, and I had T-Pain and Lil Jon 2. I thought that was thoroughly entertaining.
T-Pain and Lil Jon, yeah, that was. That was my second one.
That was
I had them as two, and then I had the of course Sean Garrett last and Chante third.
Who you had
just because
one?
My number one was who I was just talking about.
Oh, you said Hit Boy.
Yeah, that was my favorite one. Boy Wonder, Hit Boy.
Yeah,
just because I like Boy Wonder's snarky little attitude. That was some funny shit.
Yeah.
Getting off on him. He's like, oh yeah, that's cool, bro.
The Canada accent.
That was killing me, dude. Yeah, that's a nice song, bro. Nice song, eh? This nigga sound like they on Fargo.
Hey, nigga, the T-Pain shit. T-Pain was a slick starstruck, though.
He slick was. But T-Pain is entertaining as hell anyway. He was definitely starstruck, though. But Lil Jon is a nigga to be starstruck by. Niggas didn't know Lil Jon had that heat like that.
Shit.
Some niggas didn't know that. When Lil Jon playing that international EDM shit, you're like, whoa, what?
I forgot about that shit.
You know what I'm saying? Niggas thinking he just... crunk music and shots, 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 shots.
That record was big though. They played some big. They were really flexing. Like,
yeah,
I said this on the recap. I thought Lil Jon slick washed them, but I thought he had them 14-6. But they were both playing some bangers though. Like, I ain't even gonna lie. I ain't gonna front.
I had Manny Fresh winning that. And the reason being, I don't think that Lil Jon read the room correctly. Like, he playing all that international shit. It was 2-3 songs I hadn't even ever heard. And then Manny Fresh playing a hood classic that everybody knows.
You mean T-Pain?
Excuse me, yeah, T-Pain. Excuse me, I'm talking about T-Pain. Yeah. Yeah. If T-Pain playing something that more people know and going to sing with, I'm going to get it around to him if we had a crowd to react to it. That's the thing, though.
Like, and I think this is where they need to switch up the format just a little bit. I think that because Lil Jon had the advantage of going second, and you can always play off of what the first person play. So if they should
categorize it. But that's another tough story.
Though.
Hey, that's why I got a whole plan for it. Listen.
Shit.
Like, categorizing it would be dope, I think. That way it don't matter who goes first. But you can flip a coin each round too.
That'll take too long. They need to have the first 10 somebody go, the same person go first, and then the last 10 somebody go first. They just do it like that, or a snake. You know what I'm saying? Like you in a draft or something.
That could work. That could work that way. But I like the fact that I think if they kind of produced it a little bit, if you're trying to charge for it. Now we're doing it like we're doing it now, running for free running. But like you were saying, if Teddy Riley trying to do the thing, coming up with categories, maybe even giving guys 2 days to put the songs together and curate the list and things, then you can start to monetize it that way.
Teddy Riley, his net worth is $3 million, which blew me the fuck away. That's unbelievable, dude.
You thought he was going to be like Diddy numbers?
I thought he was at least 50.
What did you think he was at? 50?
I did say 30.
You asked in the group chat, I said 20 to 30.
Three?
I was surprised at 3 as well.
Babyface had like 250, dude. Like,
Babyface is a monster, though.
So is Teddy Riley, is he not?
He's a writing monster. I don't know that there's a Riley Records. There is a LaFace Records, though. And there were a lot of good artists that came off LaFace Records. And Babyface was raping them niggas. As T.I. So
Teddy Riley was on Love & Hip Hop not too long ago, too. That let me know something scary.
Yeah, you knew it was up there. But I didn't even know that. Before you looked, you should have knew that.
That's true.
I didn't even know that nigga was on Love & Hip Hop. And his daughter lived out here.
I think she was on Love & Hip Hop. I think she was dating Soulja Boy.
Yeah, okay, that's why. Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah, she was.
Yeah, that
was a thing a while ago. Neil Riley and Soulja Boy.
Now, we spoke about a little bit earlier, 2 Chainz making challenges, man.
I'm going to hide my boy for this.
Do you want to see 2 Chainz and me? Do that make sense?
Hell no, man. That's a layup for 2 Chainz, man. First of all, I don't think that I like Meek Mill. I think what he's doing is commendable with the prison reform stuff. But I 100% do not think that he's an entertaining person. So him trying to hold this battle and do this, no way.
He could be the type of
nigga that'll ruin this whole thing. He would do something to ruin it for everybody.
Yeah.
So I don't think that Meek is set up for this. He ain't the type. We seen him in the battle with Drake.
Like, yeah, he
ain't built for this type of stuff. And let him go to the studio and yell on his own.
Yeah.
So I'm really hot at my boy 2 Chainz for trying to pick that low hanging fruit like that. He should have went out to a big dog. Snoop responded to him too and let him know that
he didn't want to.
He didn't want the Snoop smoke, and not a lot of people do, though.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I was disappointed in 2 Chainz. Did you ask me who I would rather see him go against, or did you just ask how
I'm going to tell you who Swiss said he should go against, because Swiss commented on this.
What'd he say?
He said he should go against Gucci.
Nah, he ain't got enough heat for Gucci.
If
we talk about mixing, nah, he ain't got enough. No. He ain't got, like, that ain't his... Like, that'll be like 2 Chainz trying to step out in a street fight, because what Gucci going to do... is play all the mixtape hits that he got.
That's not going to hit, bro. That's not going to hit.
It ain't going to hit for you.
No, it's not going to hit for the majority of the 270,000 people watching.
Fam, 2 Chainz ain't got nothing for that first day out.
What is that?
That's what I'm saying. You don't know nothing about that.
Oh my God.
That's a national anthem for Gucci Mane fans. And probably Atlanta people. That first day out, like, do you know that because of first day out, now when rappers get out of jail, they make first day out songs? That's because of Gucci Mane.
That's fair.
Like, 2 Chainz
can't
hang with that. 2 Chainz needs somebody like 2 Chainz and Ross could go back and forth.
Don't be now. You want to talk about this?
We talking about big. Ross got album cuts. He ain't got enough hits to go with 2. Well, he may have just enough hits to go with 2 Chainz.
I don't think 2 Chainz got enough hits to go with him. And we count features. That's what you got to do. We got to count features.
Now, then Meek may have a chance if we count features.
Yeah, for sure. We count
shit
features
with Drake or something. I don't know. I think somebody really need to get on there and do a B-sides challenge. When they ain't doing no hits, we doing all our hottest B-side songs. So some shit like that. Just add different twist to it. That way, like you said, it still has that element of surprise there.
I think.
But, go ahead.
I was going to say, I think they should do label. I think somebody should do label versus label.
What would you want to see?
Like TDE versus Dreamville. No Limit, Cash Money. Something of that nature. Rough Riders and this part. Like, I think that would be kind of dope.
Who would you think wins that?
Oh, nobody wants to see Bad Boy. Nobody.
Rockefeller?
Nobody would want to see Bad Boy.
So here's the thing, though. Can you include Rock Nation in Rockefeller? Because then you get Rihanna.
Because then would nobody want to see that?
Because then you get Rihanna and you got a whole other bag right there.
It's over when they do that.
Hey, Cash Money.
That should be hard.
You can't tell me the Cash Money can't compete with Bad Boy if I got Drake, the Hot Boys, Nicki, Wayne, Juvie in his prime. Like,
if you count Young Money, Cash Money, then yeah, they might.
I'm talking about the whole Cash Money imprint. They might be at the hardest thing rolling. From Hot Boys to Drake. If I got that catalog to choose for him, it's hard for somebody to beat me.
Now that's a fact.
So Baby Mike can set this whole shit down.
I wouldn't mind seeing, I think somebody said that. I think this might have been a group chat. Usher versus Chris Brown, that might be kind of dope too, though.
That'll be all right. That'll be some all right. I wish R. Kelly didn't have allegations, but he'll bring anybody to the door.
That I was just about to say, the one person.
If R. Kelly could compete in this, I don't think nobody want to see him.
Nah, that would be, counting the shit that he wrote.
Wrote and did?
Nah, it's over.
It's canceled.
They tried to, they tried to get Jermaine Dupri, and Jermaine Dupri wasn't going.
They were being disrespectful to Jermaine Dupri. I understand him, though. I listened to the T.I. podcast.
That was
Jermaine
good.
Dupri, it was. I think that he thought that people were being disrespectful by trying to even pair him with who they were pairing him with.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you got to put him in there with Big. I think that he feels like that you're saying, like, Teddy Riley, Quincy Jones, Babyface, Jermaine Dupri, Puff Daddy.
Jermaine Dupri got to quit smoking whatever the fuck he's smoking. If he think he's up there with Quincy Jones, the nigga don't nobody want to see.
Nobody want to see Quincy. But he's old, though. He can't do this. Get his daughter or something to do it. Son or something.
But Jermaine Dupri was, they were trying to pair him with Trackmasters.
Yeah, see, that's disrespectful.
Steve Stout said Trackmasters would have washed him.
Steve Stout smokes dope. He got to. Like, Jermaine, that's crazy. Talk about track, man. What they tell? Give me. What
Fiesta?
Pocket they gonna be in? They gonna be in what the Rockefeller pocket? Is that gonna be they like big dog? Like, is that they Beyonce, Trackmasters, Rockefeller?
It's
or is it another era that I'm missing?
Nah. They late '90s, early 2000s.
And Jermaine Dupri, I think Jermaine Dupri got it because I don't know what track they may, and I may be wrong, but what they got for Escape and Usher?
They did some shit on Mary J. on that My Life. They did shit on Big first album.
Ain't Faith nobody Evans. Mentioned. Okay.
They got some shit now.
Ain't nobody mentioned the Hitmen. Why ain't nobody mentioned them?
I mean, cause that's they got some shit too though.
They got crack, no?
Nah, they got crack. Trackmasters did shit on R. Kelly shit, Method Man shit, 50, Noriega. They got some shit now. Listen. SDE, TP2.com, they got some shit. So they might Destiny's Child. This might be a good matchup.
That might be a good one. Jermaine Dupri just don't like being mentioned with them niggas, it seems like. Tell me, what artist would you like to see? Like, what would be the what's prime time Sunday night, 8 o'clock for you? If you could have anyone ideally.
Prime time. This is my dream matchup.
Uh-huh.
But this is producer though. This ain't artist though.
Okay. Oh, you finna do some Timbaland shit.
Give me an artist one too. If and Joe Budden made a really good suggestion. He said there needs to be levels.
Okay.
Because everybody doesn't have 20 hits. That's tough to do.
Then they shouldn't be in this.
No. Then you could listen, you could have an undercard. That could be a 10 hit joint. You could do a 10 for 10. Peep this lineup. You could have the undercard, like maybe a Metro Boomin versus Mike Will.
Okay.
That's a 10-10. And then for the headliners, Kanye and Pharrell, 20 for 20. I'm paying top dollar tomorrow. What's the price? Take my fucking money. I'm ordering it like it's pay-per-view, dude, and I'm watching that shit. Count me Kanye in for real. With the undercard and the main event joint.
Kanye for real. That's it.
Those are the only two that can face each other, because other than that, Pharrell ain't got no competition. Other than that, Kanye ain't got no competition.
You know what would be ideal for me, just because I feel like that this was like one of my favorite eras of music, and I don't know who the competition would be, but I just feel like the setup would be fire.
Mm.
If you did the mixtape DJs and you had Drama versus somebody.
Ooh.
Give me all my mixtape hits from all the artists. You take all your mixtape people. I don't know who the other mixtape gods was back when Drama was doing this thing, so it might not be fair.
Yeah. If you
get somebody to do their mixtape series and get your mixtape series, kind of all the artists was doing them back then.
Yeah, that's true. That's going to be tough, but it can be done, though.
That'll be tough, but you hit them with some of them little known verses that, like, with some of that dope ass shit that a lot of people ain't on. I think that'll be fire.
Hey, and real quick, I like that about Hit-Boy and them shit. They played exclusive shit. I thought that was dope.
Exactly.
They broke a couple of joints. That was fire. The Dream played his reference track of the Jay-Z and Justin Timberlake joint. That was kind of dope. That was a smooth flex. Stuff like that is dope. And shout out to Tidal too, because they've been putting these battles up on their playlist like almost immediately after that shit over with. They should have been fire.
What about Nelly and Ja Rule?
What about it?
Who winning?
Ja Rule, nigga, what the fuck
we talking about? Get the fuck out of here. Are you serious?
Who's winning?
The Nelly disrespect has to stop on this podcast.
Who's winning?
Nelly Washington, slick. I'm trying to think who else Nelly could go against. Really, they had the same song and shit.
Who could 50 go against? What if it's G-Unit versus Dipset?
That would be fire. G-Unit versus Dipset would be some good shit. You get 50. And look, you got 50 and Cam on the IG Live. Oh, my God. That ought to break the record. 500, 600,000, because that's going to be the funniest shit.
Them niggas would be talking so much.
Oh, my God. That would be the funniest shit that you see in this decade. And it's just 2020. Cam and 50 on IG Live going back and forth with the Dipset and G-Unit thing.
Bruh.
Gold.
If Swiss put that
Jesus.
Up, if he posted
I would pay
tomorrow.
I'd pay to see that.
That's must-see TV.
Take my $14.99 tomorrow. Get it on TV. I'm streaming that. Let's run it. I want to see 50 and Cam Dipset G-Unit. God, that would be good.
Man, that's the dream matchup, man.
God, that would be great.
Y'all let us know what y'all think, man. Hit us up on Facebook in the rap chat. Hit us up on Instagram at On Deck TV Podcast. What are some of your dream matchups? Who would you want to see? That's the big question. Before we get out of here, man, let's go to some winners and some losers. I've got a W to the streaming platform Quibi. It debuted this week. New shows include Pumped with Chance the Rapper and Skirt with Offset. Not to mention, Drake has a new show, 48 Laws of Power, coming soon to Quibi as well. Are you checking Quibi out this week?
I've heard a lot about Quibi, man. I am going to check that out. I ain't paying it. Do they get a free trial or whatever? I ain't paying the $4.99 for one, though.
Yeah, free 90-day trial.
Are you signed up already?
I have not. I'm waiting till that Drake show drops. Please believe that.
And for people that don't know, Quibi is the app is 10 minutes. Everything is 10 minutes, and it's meant to watch on your smartphone.
Yeah, that's hard. Yeah, Quibi is short for Quick Bites.
Mm-hmm. I'm looking to see. I'm looking forward to that. I'm copping.
Absolutely, man. We are passing out an L to producer Young Chop. The I Don't Like producer has been dissing several artists on IG, including 21 Savage, Meek Mill, and Lil Wayne. He was also recently shot at. I don't know if this is related to the disses. What's up with your man, Young Chop?
I don't know what's going on with dude, man. He looks like he needs some help. I'm gonna be honest with you. Like all those people, I think French Montana said he needs some psychiatric help because he said something about French too.
Yep.
And I tend to believe it, man. Like I see him on IG pouring six bags of cereal in a grocery bag and eating out of that. I mean, chips, six bags of chips in one bag and eating out of that. Like just being fat and nasty, breathing all hard and shit. Look like ugh. Something wrong with him, man. Like, I just believe something wrong with him, man. I don't even believe the nigga got shot when he was down here. But if he did, I could see why. Because he being real disrespectful on IG Live. I think he taking a page out your man's book, Tekashi. Yeah. But it ain't going to end the same way for him if he keep playing.
Yeah, listen, this guy, remember, he was the one who produced Chief Keef. That's that shit I don't like. And when Kanye took it and kind of remixed it, he came out and said that he didn't like that Kanye took his shit and remixed it like how he did. So he's always been outspoken.
He's been an idiot.
I don't know what the fuck he's on now. Like, he's always been outspoken, but now he's just taking it to level 20, dude. He's super bored in the quarantine. Everybody can't be quarantined. Everybody can't handle this shit, dude. Some people need to be out here active doing shit, or they get to doing goofy shit like what he on right now. Mm-hmm. He tripping.
Nigga have a diabetic attack.
Oh my goodness. Handing out a W lastly to Nick Cannon. He released a trailer for the Nipsey Hussle Dr. Sebi documentary. Says the full documentary is coming soon. Are you checking for it?
Absolutely. I definitely am checking that out, man. I can't wait till it drops. So shout out to Nick Cannon for that, man. He always doing big moves in the production shit.
Yeah, Nick Cannon, he cooking, and he said he gave his word that he was going to take that baton that Nipsey started with the documentary and finish the race with it. So it was good to see he bought his word, man. And the trailer looked dope, too. I'm definitely checking for that.
I'm in there like swimwear.
That's a fact, man. We have an on-decker of the week. We are going to Patreon. Shout out Maurice Hunt. He commented and said, "What's up, Spike Lou and AB? Have y'all thought about doing a top 10 album covers list on a Wednesday episode? I've listened to 90% of the pod, with exceptions to the old stream that I couldn't find, and I don't think I've heard y'all do a list like that." Shout out to Maurice Hunt, man. He is a Patreon subscriber. Good looking.
We appreciate you, brother.
We have not done a top 10 albums cover episode. And that is one that we'd have to put together and cultivate for real when we get back in the studio, because I think that'd be cool.
We need some visuals with that shit. That will be dope. I got to think of 10 album covers that I like.
Man, you know the one that jumps out to me? There's two that jump out to me randomly.
What's that?
Is
Mine's Lil' Kim Hardcore.
Okay, there's three that jump out to me randomly. That's number one. Masterpiece Last Dawn, that was a hologram.
The hologram on there. Yeah,
I always thought that was cool as fuck. It might have been because I was a teenager when they came out and little shit like that impressed me. But I thought that was a cool hologram. And I'm going to keep it no limit. I thought C. Murder's Life or Death cover was dope, where half of him was alive and the other half was dead. I thought that was a very interesting cover. That stuck with me too.
I like the Ghetto Dope. I liked it. I remember liking Ghetto Dope and Greenway. You remember they made those differently? It wasn't a plastic CD case. It was like the hard colored.
Yeah, it was plastic. Full color. It was
clear. You know, yeah. Like I remember standing out. It was a mean green. It was like it with no limit. So
yep.
Those are a couple that I remember as far as off the whim. Aquemanizer. I like that one a lot.
Mm.
Yeah, that's something out there.
And we need to take it back, not just the covers, but the whole joint though. You know what I'm saying? Like when you open them up, that's what made AT Aliens dope, because it was like a comic book. I don't know if you remember that. That might be before your time. Yeah. You might not have been out of the house
yet. I probably got you on that. That's probably what happened.
But shout out to Maurice Hunt, man. We'll definitely be putting that together for sure. Speaking of put me on, man, you got something to put me on now? I need it too, man. God damn. Tell me something good.
Binge-worthy TV. That's all I'm putting you on. I started Fargo Season 2 and finished that in 2 days. Good recommendation by you, so you guys check that out. But bingeable TV. That's what I'm on, series. Okay. Fargo I just finished, and I'm starting up. I actually started Snowfall again. I'll get some Snow School sessions cracking, see what I can figure out for some episodes for those people. But I start back looking at Snowfall, too. So binge-worthy TV dramas. That's what I'm putting people on. Y'all put me on some of them, too.
Absolutely. Two things real quick. First, I got to put you on to shout out to our people over at Full Sport Press. Monday through Friday, they're jumping on IG Live daily. And they're doing daily content. Very dope shit. I was just on today. You guys will be checking it out on Wednesday. They were talking NFC North offseason grade. So, you know, my Packers got an A+, of course.
I don't believe that.
Y'all check out that. And I've got to get a
record. NFC East this week, too. I'm there.
Nobody care about that, though.
Throw that star up.
Also, of course, it's some bingeable shit. I watched the Who Killed Malcolm X on Netflix. Fire, nigga.
Really? I got one episode in. I cut that shit off. I wasn't paying attention, really. That's what it was. I ain't going to say it was bad, but I was like 20 minutes in. I wasn't in the space to watch it right then.
That's fair.
I'm not gonna go back on that.
That motherfucker is fire. That's why I got on glasses now. I'm Animal X from here on out.
You went and watched the movie and everything. You ain't going to tell the people that you start back eating meat? Just
gonna
hold that from them?
Start back eating meat. Wing Wednesdays coming to IG soon.
You always been eating meat. Pause. Finally let the people know that you're not just pulling the wool over the eyes of the people now.
Y'all watch that Who Killed Malcolm X? It's fucking fire. It made me go and watch the damn Denzel joint.
Yeah.
All 8 hours of it.
I just started Rich Dad, Poor Dad, too.
That book is a classic.
Yeah.
Period.
I've heard great things about it, so I'll let you guys know how that is, too.
Absolutely, man. Hey, we appreciate y'all hanging in there with us at On Deck TV Podcast on Instagram. Facebook is the Rap Chat. Make sure you comment and subscribe on YouTube, youtube.com/Realville. And we will have Patreon content coming soon. This will not stop. We'll just have to do it remote. God damn it. New reviews coming soon.
Quarantine life. We own it.
Yes, sir. We out.
Yep.